Good afternoon and good evening. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. And welcome to the Bit Digital Fiscal Year 2023 Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participant lines are in listen-only mode. Later, following our update, we will conduct a question and answer session. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Cameron Schnier, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, Cameron.
Thank you, Mariana. Good morning and welcome to the Bit Digital Fiscal Year 2023 Earnings Call. Joining us on the call today are Sam Tabar, Chief Executive Officer, and Eric Huang, Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I would like to remind all participants that some of the statements we will be making today are forward-looking. These matters involve risks and uncertainties that could cause our results to differ materially from those projected in these statements. I therefore refer you to our latest 20-F filing and our other SEC filings. Our comments today may also include non-GAAP financial measures. Additional details and reconciliation to the most directly comparable GAAP financial measures can be found in our 20-F filing, which is on our website. After our prepared remarks, we will open the call up for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please type your name and company name in the Q&A box. With that, I will turn the call over to Sam.
Thank you, Cam. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the call today. In my prepared remarks, I'll discuss three things: our fourth quarter and full year results, discuss a number of achievements, and three, our thoughts on the outlook of 2024 and our future ambitions. Cam and Eric will then provide more detail on our financial results, and then we'll open the line for your questions. 2023 was quite a year. It was a rebound year for our industry and a foundational year for Bit Digital. We began last year with Bitcoin prices below $17,000 and ended above $43,000, with the majority of that gain occurring in the final months of the year. The price rally has continued into 2024, with the price of Bitcoin reaching new all-time highs. The Bitcoin price rally was a welcome reprieve for the mining industry, especially given the upcoming halving when mining rewards will be cut in half. However, we spent the last year focused on building a company that could withstand both halving events and cyclical gyrations in the price of Bitcoin. More on that later in this call. As of December 31st, 2023, our Bitcoin mining fleet was approximately 93% carbon-free, which is a material improvement from our prior year levels, but a small dip below our prior 99% run rate. The decrease is because of our geographical diversification into new regions, namely Texas and Kentucky, where the power grids there use more carbon-based energy sources. While we continue to strive to be entirely carbon-free, we are willing to make certain compromises as we search for the best economics and the benefits of geographical diversification. As of December 31st, we had approximately 101 megawatts contracted with six hosting partners. We have since added 6 megawatts, bringing the total to 107 megawatts. We are using approximately 80 megawatts as of that date, providing roughly 27 megawatts to support our growth initiatives. We are targeting an active hash rate of 6 exahash by the end of the year, roughly double where we are today. This means we'll have to secure approximately 37 incremental megawatts if we fill the capacity with new generation miners, such as the S21. We are actively engaged in discussions with several hosting partners for new sites, and we have a strong pipeline of new potential locations. At this time, we do not foresee hosting capacity as a bottleneck for achieving our 6 exahash target in 2024. While we continue to believe in our infrastructure light approach, which is conducive to our own goals, we would consider owning a portion of our infrastructure at the right price and returns profile. Our balance sheet remains a core strength, with approximately $140 million worth of cash and digital assets at the end of February and zero debt. We continue to believe, a strong balance sheet and liquidity position is one of the most important features to withstand halving events. In October, we proudly announced a new business line, BitDigital AI. Importantly, we didn't just announce an aspiration to start a business in AI because we noticed it was trending. We had carefully considered this business long before the announcement, and it was critical to us that we were not only confident in our ability to execute on this strategy, but to secure an anchor customer prior to any announcement. Our core competencies include sourcing specialized computer systems, data center selection, and network design. Our GPU business fits seamlessly within these strengths, allowing us to go from signing a customer contract to installing and deploying an incredibly complex network of more than 2,000 GPUs in a matter of months. This contract is now generating over $50 million of annualized revenue, and our sights are set on expanding this business line, both through expanding the scope of our existing customer contract and by onboarding new customers. We're actively engaged in conversations with new prospects, and we hope to be able to announce growth initiatives soon. We are targeting a minimum of $100 million in annualized run rate revenue from this business by year end, and we are confident in reaching that goal. While we have purposely remained debt free to date, we would consider leverage as a means to accelerate the growth of our BitDigital AI business, as we believe predictable cash flows from that segment are much more conducive to debt relative to Bitcoin mining. We understand that we are unlikely to receive full credit for this business until we start reporting the financials. Given that this business started earning revenue at the end of January 2024, our first quarter 2024 results will be the first time that this business shows up in our financial statements. While we can't offer guidance on the specifics of the margin profile, we will state that even at current Bitcoin prices, our BitDigital AI business earns substantially higher margins than our mining business, even on a pre-halving basis. I'll now hand over the line to Eric, who will discuss our financial results.
Thank you, Sam. I will now discuss certain financial results for fiscal year 2023 and the fourth quarter of 2023. The total revenue for 2023 was $44.9 million, a 39% increase compared to the prior year. The revenue increase was primarily driven by increase of deployed miner fleet and a modestly higher average Bitcoin price. Our Bitcoin production increased 21% year over year to 1,507, with an increase in our active hash rate partially offset by increase of network difficulty. Our ETH staking strategy generated approximately $700,000 in 2023 in its fiscal full year of operations. Cost of revenue was $29.6 million for 2023, an increase of approximately $9 million from 2022. The increase was primarily driven by increase our active mining fleet. Our electricity price was approximately 5 cents kilowatt hour for 2023. Our production cost per Bitcoin, defined as electricity and other hosting fees divided by Bitcoin production, amounted to approximately $15,700 for 2023. Profit sharing fees amounted to around $3,900 per Bitcoin for 2023. Depreciation amortization expense was $14.4 million in 2023 compared to $26.8 million in 2022, with a decrease primarily due to lower carry values for miners. But we expect D&A to increase in this year due to our recent GPU procurement and new miner purchases. Adjusted EBITDA was $12.4 million in 2023 compared to a loss of $26.9 million in 2022. The improvement was primarily driven by better cash margins and reduced digital assets impairment charges. As a note, we have not yet adopted the new FASB fair value accounting rules, but plan to implement the change for our first quarter earnings report this year. GAAP earnings per share for 2023 was a loss of 16 cents compared to a loss of $1.34 in 2022. That's a great improvement. Adjusted earnings per share was approximately 12 cents compared to a loss of 34 cents in 2022. Adjusted earnings per share exclude approximately $16 of D&A, $0.16 of D&A, 10 cents of share-based compensation, and 2 cents from a loss or write-off of a deposit. Our average fleet efficiency for active fleet was 28.8 joules per terahash as of December 31st, 2023. Our goal is to improve the metric materially as we progress through this year. CarPex for 2023 was approximately $66.7 million. Approximately $55 million of that was related to our Bit Digital AI business. The remaining spend for the initial contract was largely offset by the proceeds we received from the sale-back lease transaction we executed for 768 GPUs. We raised approximately $66 million of net proceeds from the issuance of 21.5 million ordinary shares in 2023. Approximately 14.7 million shares were sold in connection with our ATM offering, the majority of which were issued during the first quarter. The proceeds were used to fund our growth initiatives for general corporate purposes and to fortify our balance sheet ahead of the halving. And we're cautious of dilution and only seek to raise equity when we have identified opportunities to deploy capital in higher return areas, such as our Bit Digital AI business. I will now turn the call back to Sam for closing remarks.
Thanks, Eric. We have a great team in place, and I'm proud of the foundation we built in 2023. 2023 was an interesting year for the mining sector, to say the least. It seemed as if, up until the third quarter, the industry's overarching focus was on improving resilience ahead of the halving. That is to say, mining companies were seemingly focused on deleveraging, improving the balance sheet, and lowering costs so that they would be in a more stable position when mining rewards were cut in half in 2024. As many of you probably noticed, that sentiment changed dramatically in October, as Bitcoin charged past 30,000 and then above 40,000 by year-end, as optimism around a Bitcoin ETF reached fever pitch. The improvement in Bitcoin price changed the narrative from resilience to growth, and ambitious growth announcements were generally rewarded by the market. Now in 2024, Bitcoin is up around 50% year-to-date, and mining stocks are generally in the red for the year. It's as if market participants temporarily forgot about the halving in late 2023 and then recently remembered. We never forgot. We are, of course, very pleased with the improvement in digital asset prices. It has had a material impact on the value of our liquidity position, and we are less likely to have to make difficult decisions following the halving compared to where we would have been if Bitcoin was near October 2023 levels. That said, we think improved Bitcoin prices are masking the fragility of certain business models. We think current Bitcoin prices are causing investors to overlook the importance of having non-correlated revenue streams that can produce enough cash flow to cover fixed expenses. Even if Bitcoin goes parabolic, we think there is significant value in having cash flow streams that serve as a downside hedge. Look, We are a fundamental long-term believer in both Bitcoin and Ethereum. However, if we could accurately and consistently predict the price of Bitcoin, we'd be trading call options and not buying ASICs. We are trying to build a company that is less driven by speculation and more driven by strong underlying fundamentals. The historical trend for Bitcoin prices has been higher, and we're in the camp, of course, that Bitcoin will continue to achieve new all-time highs as time progresses. However, if you want to enjoy the good times, you have to survive the hard times, and that's the mentality we rely to plan our business. We are differentiated in the realm of Bitcoin miners. Our operational and treasury management strategies are unique. We own over 15,000 ETH at the end of February, and over 12,000 of that is actively staked. As far as I can tell, we own one of the largest ETH stacks of any publicly listed company in the United States. It's our view that a portfolio with both ETH and Bitcoin will outperform a Bitcoin-only portfolio over the medium term, especially when you layer in the rewards from staked ETH. We also see the potential SEC approval of a spot ETH ETF as a major medium-term catalyst for the price of ETH. But we fundamentally believe that ETH's strong monetary policy and strong ecosystem provides a compelling path forward, regardless of the SEC's decision. BitDigital remains categorized as a Bitcoin miner. But frankly, we are much more than that. We have a growing HPC business that is already on track to produce more revenue in 2024 than our mining business generated in 2023. These are complementary business lines that we believe strengthen our financial profile and will provide an incredible optionality in terms of capital allocation. And with that, I'd like to open the line for some questions.
Thank you, Sam. If you would like to ask a question, please type your name and company into the Q&A box on your screen. Our first question comes from Mike Grondell, Northland Securities. Please go ahead, Mike.
Thank you. The first question, Sam, is really about capital allocation. Can you kind of talk about how you're investing between the HPC opportunities and the Bitcoin mining opportunities? Like, how do you think about payback, margins, and then really funding both of those growths? But first, you know, talk about the returns and margins and payback, Bitcoin versus HPC.
Sure, Mike. Thanks very much for your question. Look, it depends on the way we think about capital allocation between GPUs and miners depends on the market prices for the equipment when we execute the respective orders. So to reach our $100 million revenue target for BitDigital AI, we'd probably need to invest around $60 million at the current prices. And to double our fleet size to add 3 exahash, that cost would be around $45 million at the current pricing. It depends on the model we select. So capital allocation decisions are going to be based on a returns basis model. We don't want to just grow both businesses, but we're not going to just grow for the sakes of growth if the returns don't justify the expenditure. Cam and Eric, do you want to add a little bit to that?
Yeah, if I may add, you know, the return for Bitcoin mining and return for, you know, HPC hosting or computing. Power hosting, they're different, but it really depends on the market conditions and for Bitcoin price and, you know, for the contract we sign with the customer and especially, for the, you know, HPC equipment we procure. So those are generally good businesses, but we're, you know, monitoring them closely, especially, you know, for Bitcoin, there's a halving right ahead of us. So we want to see, you know, where the market stands and to make decisions.
And yeah, Mike, I mean, at current market pricing, it would be about $60 million or so to double the run rate revenue for Bit Digital AI to $100 million. And then to add 3 exahash is about $45 million, depending on the model. So, and that's all based on what we could see now, but obviously that could change.
Right. And then kind of following up on that, you mentioned your eagerness or desire to kind of layer some debt into the business, potentially on the HPC side, but you also have, if I read it right, like $140 million of liquidity with $34 million of that being cash. How would you see funding some of this growth in 2024?
Well, just before I'll let Eric respond to that a little bit, but I just want to take a step back and mention that philosophically, the company never took on leverage in the past to fund it a bit sort of a Bitcoin fleet. And the reason for that is that you can't predict cash flows. So if you can't predict cash flows because you don't know where the Bitcoin price is going to be, taking on leverage to buy Bitcoin mining equipment is stupid, frankly. So we never took on leverage philosophically for that reason. However, on the HPC business side, that's very different. There's certainty of revenue. We have a contract. We know exactly how much we're going to make. So taking on leverage when you can predict cash flow, that makes a lot of sense. But on that front, to that point, I'll just leave it to Eric to respond in a more detailed manner.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. And just like you, Sam, said, for the AI business, we can model it out, and the contract is for 3 years. And the reason we're thinking about taking on debt on that business to improve, further improve the profit margins, and which the model allows. So the future growth can be funded by existing cash on balance sheet and the credits or debt we're taking on and the prepayment or deposits from the customers. So that would be sufficient for our growth. And again, we're cautious about dilution, so we want to put the capital to work as much as we can. But and the condition of the business, the underlying business or model allows us to do so.
Got it. And then maybe lastly, I would just ask, the 2000 GPUs you're renting to this one customer, can you talk about the incremental opportunity with that customer and how that plays out? And then you mentioned you were talking to other new prospects too. Like, how deep is the pipeline?
Sure, I'll take that. Just as first brush, just on that front, with respect to diversifying the customer base for our HPC business, we're engaged with a number of clients, of prospective clients. I could think right now of, I believe, 5. Although there are many, many more knocking on our doors, we've shortlisted a very small number that we're actively working on. They're at various stages in terms of how advanced each discussion is. But there are several clients beyond our anchor client where the talks are pretty advanced. And the types of customers we're talking to are quite diverse. They're both big and small, startups and later stage tech companies. And some of these prospective clients are not yet renting GPUs, and others are currently working with other providers and they wish to diversify. So we've had customers approach us that are working with another HPC provider, but again, they're trying to diversify their vendors. So it's been very promising, and that is simply outside the anchor client that we have. With respect to our anchor client, there is insatiable appetite to continue growing the business, and that's why we're pretty confident that we'll get to $100 million run rate by the end of the year.
Maybe one more. Could it be larger than $100 million? I mean, yes. I understand it's capital heavy,
it can be. But we're targeting $100 million by the end of the year.
And Mike, if you just recall, when we initially announced the business, we did put out a binding term sheet with that customer, which provided up to 4,096 GPUs. So we've executed about half of that, but that sort of indicates their sort of immediate desire for that quantum. And, it could theoretically stretch above that, but it's pretty, the contract is more plug and play to scale up to that number.
And look, I'm sure plenty of people are thinking about the AI unit economics. Gross margins are substantially higher than, as I mentioned, than our core mining business, even at current prices. The overhead is very limited. Our Q1 financials will provide detail on the achieved margin profile. We do target a sub 2 year payback period, however.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Mike. Shall we go to the next question? Next, we have Kevin Dede from H.C. Wainwright. Kevin, please go ahead.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes. Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
Feel free to, yeah, we hear you. Feel free to ask your question.
Okay, yeah, I was hoping you could dive in a little bit on the Ethereum flywheel, please, Sam. Just maybe talk about what you allocated for the year, what you expect to allocate next year, what sort of returns you see, maybe a little bit on your decision between native staking and liquid staking, which tokens you prefer to use, and ultimately the contribution and piggybacking off of Mike's line of thinking, the capital allocation process there.
Sure. Let me just discuss conceptually and philosophically. We'll get into the numbers in a moment. Bit Digital invented a business model where we call it the Bit Digital flywheel, where we take the rewards from Bitcoin, we put a material portion of that into Ethereum, then we stake a lot of that Ethereum, and we take the staking rewards and we pour that back into our operations. That is a business model, as far as I know, no one has ever done, and we've invented that. Also, another thing that's unique, as I mentioned in our call, is that we have probably the largest, if not one of the largest, ETH stacks in any public company in the US. There is a lot of value in that. I've been personally in the Ethereum space for many years, and there's functionality that Bitcoin doesn't have. Bitcoin is digital gold. Ethereum has smart contracts. You could basically rewrite the entire financial system with Ethereum. They're two very different things, both equally of value. In terms of how we allocate our Bitcoin to Ethereum, I'm going to leave that for Eric.
Yeah, so we continue to convert Bitcoin to Ethereum, and Ethereum is generating about 4% of revenues. And now majority of our staking, I would say 95% plus, is through native staking. Because the lining up nine the waiting time to get into native staking is 1 day, and exiting out is 1 day as well. So it's very liquid. The only reason we were trying liquid staking, sorry, we're using native staking now. The only reason we're doing the liquid staking was because there was a line of getting into, there was a time it took about like 2 months, but now it's very liquid. So I anticipate going forward, we'll still use native staking as a primary source for staking.
Yeah, and Kevin, I mean, you just wouldn't expect it to grow as a proportion of revenue just with the advent of the Bit Digital AI revenue stream. And just in terms of forecasting, I mean, it's a mid-single digit yield, but that's in ETH terms. So, I mean, it's the revenue contribution is very contingent on, the ETH price at the end of the period.
I should remind everybody on the call that there's no halving event in Ethereum or in AI.
Yes, Sam. In fact, Ethereum's deflationary at this point. Can you just sort of ballpark where the numbers fell out for the year? Because I didn't get a chance to see them. Understand less emphasis on it going forward, given all the other options you have. Makes perfect sense. Next sort of line of questioning, Sam, if you indulge me, would just be on the financing of the GPUs that you have thus far and the contribution or the investment you need to make going forward to hit the numbers that you want. I think some of it you're sharing and some of it you're not. Maybe you could just sort of help us understand how that's working out.
Yeah, we think about that pretty deeply. I'm going to have Eric, our Chief Financial Officer, talk about the financial weights on that.
Yeah, so the current contract had been all paid out. We paid $55 million for those GPUs, and about 20% as from the sale-leaseback agreement that we had with a third party. And going forward, like I stated on this call earlier, we're going to do some lending against those equipments. That's one option. And two, we're likely to use the same sort of sale-leaseback agreement with potential partners, and three, use our cash on balance to fund the growth. To reach $100 million revenue target, we would need to invest about around $60 million or so in current prices. We have enough sufficient options in this moment.
Eric, if I may, I've got to congratulate you on your ability to move right up the super micro demand chain. And I was wondering if you might be able to speak to that. How is it that you were able to position Bit Digital and Sam for that matter against all the other competitors you have in demanding these machines? I think that is an understated and underappreciated advantage that Bit Digital brings to the AI space. Maybe you could elaborate on that.
I mean, our experience for procuring the, those specialized equipments came all the way back to when we were, in the Ethereum, POW business, and we built those relationships with like NVIDIA and Supermicro, the semiconductor industry partners. And it comes when we were trying to procure those H100 servers. So NVIDIA and Supermicro give us quite a lot of support, and that's how we could, procure those equipments in such a short period of time and also install them in Iceland, with our expertise in international logistics. And frankly, I was at GTC yesterday. I'm going to have meetings with Supermicro right after this call. It'd be good to keep the relationship and to for our future growth.
Wonderful, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my questions. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
But Kevin, thank you for highlighting that. That is one of our secret sauces in terms of our access to get these machines from legacy relationships that we've had going back years.
Next speaker, we have Joshua Zoefel from Noble Capital Markets. Please go ahead, Joshua.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Hey guys, it's filling up for Joe. First off, I wanted to congratulate you guys on the year. Obviously you guys, obviously talked about the AI, how it's kind of transforming a little bit of the business and how it's adding a good revenue stream to you guys in 2024 and forward. I just wanted you guys to say, kind of answer something with, just in terms of the mining business. Have you guys already kind of had talks with like just companies, in regards to their miners? And are they kind of like ready to like kind of sell those, or are they kind of holding off until the halving event and then seeing what's going on from there?
There's been I'm happy to take that call, that question. There's been a lot of talk. We do get approached often about buying machines, and but I think a lot of people are waiting to see what happens after the halving. Historically, as you know, Bitcoin goes up quite a bit after the halving. One of the reasons why Bitcoin has gone up a lot now, and this is just my opinion, is that the Bitcoin ETFs have caused massive inflows into Bitcoin. So it's quite possible that the Bitcoin halving event that has not been the catalyst for the spike in the price of Bitcoin going up. So there could be another catalyst after the halving event once that happens. And of course, it's not overnight. Historically, it takes a while. It could take a few months, even up to a year. But until people figure out where Bitcoin is going to be, where it ends up stabilizing, then people are going to start taking a view as to whether they'll sell their equipment or not. So I think there's a lot of holding going on right now and people just waiting to see.
Just specify, there's no bottleneck from a OEM procurement perspective. Like, we have all the access to miners we want or need right now. It's more of just a product of us timing the growth.
Okay, thanks, guys. And then this obviously, when I'm kind of looking at, you know, the productions you guys release monthly, and you know, over the past few months, we've kind of noticed just the increase in network difficulty. You know, do you guys kind of expect this to continue just going forward, even with the halving?
Cam, do you want to take that?
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of miners coming online. Like, if you look around at the public miner landscape, there's been, you know, pretty massive growth announcements, and a lot of that has not yet been deployed. And obviously there's a lot of growth in the non-public realm that, you know, is harder to track, but and historically you do see a pretty meaningful portion of the network hash rate drop off following, you know, the halving events. So it might not be as dramatic of a decrease post halving this go around, but I mean, we would still expect, you know, some meaningful number to fall off post-halving and, you know, commensurately reduce difficulty.
Yeah, to Cam's point, I think it'll be much less than it was in the past, only because the industrialization of Bitcoin is here, unlike the other halvings in the past. And with the industrialization of Bitcoin comes the ability to absorb shocks. And so I think it'll be less of an impact than in the past.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Josh. Okay, for the next speaker, we have Edward Engel from Singular Research. Please go ahead, Edward.
Hi, thanks for taking a question. Can I confirm you can hear me?
Yes, you can. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Yeah, just wanted to talk about the high level, the cost structure on the AI business. Specifically, would it be fair to assume that the gross costs, specifically the energy costs, are decently lower for AI than Bitcoin mining?
Much more, but I'm unsure what I could say in terms of MMPI, but I'd like to, I know what the numbers are, but I'm unsure if we're allowed to disclose that, Cam and Eric.
The electricity costs on a per revenue basis are dramatically less.
Great. Just wanted to confirm, yeah. And I guess from a footprint perspective, for the same level of square foot, would AI also be more profitable?
Yeah, if you look at our, like, we're running less than around 2 megawatts for that $50 million run rate. It's on a per revenue basis compared to, you know, we were using around 80 megawatts on the mining side, which generated, you know, $44 million of revenue in 2023. Obviously, Bitcoin prices are much higher, but even with that increase, I mean, it's from a footprint perspective, we're able to generate a lot more revenue on the AI side.
Perfect, thank you. And then one more on the ETH one. A lot of questions were asked, so just kind of filling this in. Would you consider restaking ETH on like emerging protocols like EigenLayer, or is it a bit too early to tell?
And that's a very good question. Maybe I can add. So we now are having pretty much majority data staking, but we are monitoring those restaking or better, we call it enhanced strategies in one of our self-custody, the fund, the digital lab. So that's like the experimental R&D fund within the house. Now we're doing those higher returns in the ETH ecosystem. But we will
Very helpful.
announce when it becomes material or a better returns are justified. Thanks for your question.
Great. Thanks for the color. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Edward. And the next speaker we have is Alex Schmidt from CoinShares.
Hi,
Please go
Alex.
ahead, Alex.
Hi, good afternoon, good morning, for you guys. I think given that most of my questions have already been answered, I'll just leave you with more of a philosophical one. As a, from a perspective of miners, how do you see the investment case for miners in relation to now the possibility of investing in Bitcoin ETFs directly in the US? We know that these businesses were peers to this type of investment before, but now investors have other options. So how do you see in terms of share price performance going forward?
Yeah, I'm happy to answer that question. Feel free to express any opinions, Cam and Eric. But on that note, Alex, I agree with you that right now there's a lot more on the menu for investors to express their Bitcoin aspirations. So now they can express that. In the past, it was through the Bitcoin mining sector or the underlying commodity itself. Now there is a lot of Bitcoin miners in the sector, and there is an ETF, a Bitcoin ETF, and there is the underlying commodity. And there are other ways to express Bitcoin aspirations. So there's a lot on the menu. All the more reason why we felt it was very necessary to differentiate ourselves from the sector, which is one of the reasons why we have the largest ETH stack in the country, which is another reason why we built a vertical using our skill set that has that's throwing off very material revenue that's completely uncorrelated to the price of Bitcoin. And what we didn't want to do running this business philosophically is run it on hope that Bitcoin goes up. That's not a good way to run a business. And so that's why we have done this tripartite approach of ETH staking and a very solid AI vertical and increase our Bitcoin mining fleet, doubling it to the size of the end of the year. We've differentiated ourselves like that, and we hope the capital markets, we know the capital markets, time is our friend. They will recognize that we built an all-weather business.
You mentioned growth in hash rate. And you made some, smaller acquisitions in the beginning of the year, whilst your peers have made, massive ones. I was just wondering, at current prices, even despite the halving, Bitcoin mining has become attractive, very attractive again. Do you think that, holding your guns for much longer, maybe you could lose some of this, rather cheap mining gears that's available still at the moment?
Eric, do you want to, I have a view on that, but Eric, do you want to go first and then I'll add?
Yeah, I'm happy to. I mean, procuring miners really hasn't been an issue for us. We have all the channels to procure them. And from my point of view, I think miner price will just going to be more attractive going forward, with the happening with the increase of network hash. So now we are, you know, actively monitoring where the network difficulty will go, especially, you know, after the halving, and to make sure, you know, the investment or, you know, the procurement we make can be, you know, return risk justified. It has been our strategy. So for example, from year late 2021 until the first quarter of 2023, we didn't make any minor purchases because it was just, you know, the model doesn't work out. So about after, you know, Q1 2023, we started, you know, growth again. So it's a matter of timing and also the overall market conditions.
And Alex, I think you would expect, you know, the demand side post-halving to subside to some degree. I mean, if no other reason than just based on if you look at public miner stock price year to date, I mean, cost of equity is way more expensive. So using that as a you know, source of funding ASIC purchases is, you know, probably not going to sustain the levels we saw in late 2023. So, I mean, we continue to have the view that, you know, even if they go up to some degree, that we're not risking missing a, you know, great value right now just by being cautious.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. That concludes our Q&A session, and I would like to turn this back to Sam for final remarks. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Mariana. I think what I have to, I don't really have much more final remarks except, as mentioned, we built a solid business that is an all-weather business. We have a great team in place, and we are very proud of the foundation that we built in 2023. I don't have any further remarks. Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to receiving any other further questions in the future.
And with that, I would like to thank everyone again for joining us today. Before we conclude, I also want to take a moment to thank our shareholders, analysts, and members of the press for participating and joining us. And thank you to everyone, and have a great day.
Thank you, Mariana.